Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Before we get into our topic today, we just want to mention one more time that this Saturday we are going to be presenting a Compassionate Boldness Symposium at Shadow Mountain Church, located at 9324 Holly Park Road in West Jordan. 9324 Holly Park Road. We're going to be discussing a number of things pertaining to Mormonism, give you a little background of the movement. We're going to talk about the Book of Mormon. We're going to talk about the Godhead, what the Mormons see God as being. We're going to talk about salvation and also look at some of the proof texts that many Mormons use that they feel supports their view. That's free. There's going to be a love offering that is taken, but it is free of charge. We hope that you can make it out. It's from 9 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon. That's at Shadow Mountain Church, 9324 Holly Park Road.
Could a Mormon go to that?
Absolutely. If they want to attend, that would be fine with us. We've had many Mormons attend our meetings in the past, and we hope that they would. You're going to find that much of what we're talking about is going to be documented from LDS sources, so hope you can make it out to that. We want to talk about now, Eric, our trip that we recently took to Turkey and to Israel, and mainly the whole theme of what we've been discussing this week is the fact that we don't, as Christians, we don't have to take a lot of the stories by faith when it comes to the place names that are mentioned in the Bible. And we've mentioned several of these places that we actually saw. Pergamum, for instance, which is incredible in Turkey, and the huge theater that's on the side of the mountain.
How about Laodicea, a brand new excavation that's only been going on for a few years, and what they've already uncovered, because they don't have to dig very far. Nothing was built on top of it. So just a couple of feet, and you're finding things as far as pottery and all of this already, and the site is just incredible.
And of course, the Laodiceans were known by the Book of Revelation as being rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing. And the reason for that, it was right on the main road where all the merchants went to and all the travelers and traders and such. So it was very much for markets and things like that, and a lot of wealth there. Some of the other places we went to, let's talk about Qumran, for instance. Now, Qumran is not mentioned in the Bible. The Essenes are not mentioned in the Bible. Now, some Mormons were hoping when they started looking into the Dead Sea Scrolls and such that maybe they would find some hint of ancient Mormons. That proved to be a big disappointment, as much of the archaeological finds have proven to be a disappointment for Mormons. The Essenes were not early Mormons by any stretch of the imagination. They were kind of a strange group of people, a bunch of guys living out in the middle of nowhere, taking a lot of baths. But anyway, we climbed up to Cave 1.
An easy climb.
We met Joel Kramer, who was originally from Brigham City. He's the one that put out DNA versus the Book of Mormon and other videos that people have found to be very helpful in studying Mormonism. Joel lives in Jerusalem now, and he met us there and took us up to Cave 1. You're right. Not an easy climb.
Well, it's on a goat trail, and you have to walk up on little pebbles and stones, and if you're not careful, then you are going to slip. And I've had somebody slip before, and they ended up getting hurt pretty badly. So you have to watch yourself. But getting up to Cave 1 and going inside Cave 1, it is an exhilarating experience, which can be attested by probably about 30 of our people who went up there, and they were so excited to go inside the most important archaeological discovery of the 20th century, at least, if not forever. 1947, a shepherd boy threw a rock into this cave and heard the shattering of pottery, comes back the next day and finds all of these scrolls, including the scroll of Isaiah. The whole scroll was there. And later they found 10 more caves, 11 total caves. But I just think the archaeological importance of this is that here is the book of Isaiah that we had before only had a copy from the 900 AD time frame, the Masoretic text. This is dated 100 BC. For those who would say, oh, maybe these things were added in as far as the messianic prophecies that Jesus was supposed to have fulfilled, this was written before. And for instance, they looked at Isaiah 53, the suffering servant passage, and they found, I think, 9 or 10 different changes from the Masoretic text. And it involved a change of an accent mark. And it was easy to show that it was exactly the same, that that passage is an accurate passage that we can rely on and know that the Bible is true.
Now, it should be brought out that these were put in these caves, these scrolls were put in these caves by the Essenes, because this is around the time of the Jewish revolt against mm-hmm. Rome. So there cannot be anything in those scrolls that's newer than AD 68.
Right.
So when Mormons talk about, well, we believe the Bible as far as it's translated correctly, Mormon, do your homework. Look at this Isaiah scroll, as Eric has just mentioned. Yeah, there were some variants, but so minor, means virtually nothing. Our Bibles are translated quite well. And for a Mormon to say, well, that particular verse that they might not agree with, it could be possibly translated inaccurately, that's a pretty serious charge. You better back that up before you make a charge like that. Because I bet you when you look into it, you're going to find out what you've been told by your Mormon leaders is not accurate. It's not true. But you're right. Going up to Cave 1 was incredible. What was incredible for me is it is not an easy climb. In fact, when you put your hands on the rocks, those rocks are sharp.
Mm-hmm.
They are sharp. Very uncomfortable. My question was, going up this thing, I'm not carrying anything but a camera. It's strapped around my waist. My hands are free. How did those Essenes get those jars up that hill to stuff in that little cave? Because there was just a small hole
right.
that they had to go through. They've now made it larger for you to get in much easier, but back then it was a very small hole.
They must have had Shorty climb through that and go in there, and they had to hand it through the hole because we're able to get into the cave today because archaeologists have made entrances. But back then there was just this little hole up probably about 8 feet high, and you would have had to climb up and through that to get into this cave. And not this last time, but I have been in there when there are bats in the back. I mean, this cave is not very big. What
no,
would you
not.
Say? Probably about 300 square feet total, if that.
I don't know. But it's not very big.
But you go in the back of this cave, and I looked, and I didn't find them this time, but there are bats in there. And so this is kind of spooky almost if you were in 1947 looking for buried treasure, which is what Bedouin shepherd boy, whose name was the Wolf, that was his nickname, but he came upon something that ended up helping us as Christians, because a quarter of all of the scrolls, of 1,000 different manuscripts, a quarter of them are biblically related from the Old Testament.
Now, we also went into the West Bank. We saw Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the temple, or at least the foundation of the temple that Herod built for Augustus Caesar. We saw that. We were at the Jacob's Well, which many believe is probably the actual well. I'm sure there's a little bit of controversy over that, although it is a very deep well, and the book of John says that the well was deep, and when you drop water
John
in it, it takes forever.
John 4 in the Samaritan woman's story comes alive when you're actually at a site like that.
And you're right near Mount Gerizim, which is across from Mount Ebal, and of course in the Old Testament it talks about the children of Israel were on one side and on the other, Mount Gerizim, Mount Ebal. One group was shouting curses, the other shouting blessings. And you can imagine that really happening if you had enough people there to do that. It's quite possible.
One of my favorite sites to see every time I go is Hezekiah's Tunnel, which was built by Hezekiah 8th century BC.
That's mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 20. It says, the rest of the deeds of Hezekiah and all his might and how he made the pool and the conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And of course, you turn over to Chronicles.
Second Chronicles
in chapter 32. It says, this same Hezekiah closed the upper outlet of the waters of Gihon and directed them down to the west side of the city of David. They found it.
Well, and you can walk through 1,749 feet of Hezekiah's Tunnel if you're brave enough. The water goes up probably about 2.5 feet, goes up to your thigh for a regular-sized 6-foot person.
But only for a real short period at the very beginning.
But it's usually deeper, it's only a foot or so.
Yeah, maybe
the rest
up to your calf.
It's still bringing water from the Spring of Gihon into the old city, and that's how the water was brought so that Hezekiah's people could be saved from Sennacherib. And today you can visit the museum in Istanbul, the archaeological museum, and you can see the Pool of Siloam inscription, which explains how he built this. He built it from two different ends, and they met in the middle, and it explains that. You can go visit that. It was stolen by the Ottoman Empire and taken to Istanbul. They have not returned that yet.
Now, they have a fake plaque there. This is where the plaque used to be.
But it's just incredible. And then, Bill, you really enjoy Capernaum.
I love Capernaum. In fact, I gave a devotion out there. This was Jesus' headquarters in the Galilee. Galilee is incredible. But I love Capernaum, and the White Synagogue is still there, the ruins of the White Synagogue, but it's clear that underneath that synagogue would have been the synagogue that Jesus actually preached in. I mean, this is where Peter's mother-in-law's house is located. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of things happened in Capernaum. That's one of the reasons why I especially like from Mark chapter 2 and such. But it's just incredible being out there.
Well, I want to throw this out because going to the Holy Land is something that every Christian ought to be able to do because you're never going to read your Bible the same. And we're talking loosely right now about maybe going back in a couple of years. I'm going to suggest if the things that we've been talking about this week as far as Bible archaeology interests you, start saving some money now. Just put your coins in a tin can or start saving some bills. And it goes really quick if you we have a couple of years. We're thinking about maybe February of 2015.
Everybody who went with us were just ecstatic over the things that they saw. And as you said, you just cannot read your Bible the same. Once you see the geographic locations of all these places, it's just incredible. Tomorrow we're going to talk a little bit about the Mormon aspect of archaeology.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. This Saturday, March 23rd, a Compassionate Boldness Symposium will be taking place at Shadow Mountain Church in West Jordan, Utah, beginning at 9 a.m. Topics include the Book of Mormon, the Godhead, and salvation. MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will lay out the teachings of Mormonism and show the differences with biblical Christianity. This four-hour event is free and open to the public, so plan to join us this Saturday at Shadow Mountain Church, located just off Old Bingham Highway at 9324 South and 5600 West in West Jordan. If the LDS Church is not true, which church is? Didn't the Bible predict the apostasy of the Christian faith? These and 34 other questions often posed by Latter-day Saints are addressed in Kriegel Publishers' new book, Answering Mormons' Questions, written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. Included is a glossary of Mormon terms and questions for group discussions. This is a great resource for those who want to share their Christian faith. Answering Mormons' Questions is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or at mrm.org.